Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, a reminder that BBN is a listener-supported Christian radio and internet ministry. To support us, click donations at bbnradio.org. That's donations at bbnradio.org.
For the last two evenings of BBN's Teen Week Conference Pulpit Messages, Steve Pickett will be preaching to us. He has been in the ministry for over 46 years. Since 1981, he has traveled extensively as an evangelist internationally. Steve's messages have been heard in churches, youth camps, and conferences, as well as Christian and secular high schools, colleges, and universities. He has been for years a favorite among young people, as he has preached in over 600 youth camps and conferences, and he has spoken in over 100 leadership training conferences. Steve Pigott presently lives in Fairfax, Virginia. Here's our message for a Friday night for the teens on BBN's conference pulpit. The message is titled, Friends.
I want tonight to be a fun night, you know. I preached a message, my God is able to use me as I am right now. Say it with me. My God is able to use me as I am right now. True statement. But there are some things that can derail us from God using our lives. One verse of scripture that I'm going to turn to, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Usually when I have the opportunity to speak to a college group or teenagers, I'll usually somewhere during the time that I'm with them turn to this passage of scripture. I am going to talk about the most powerful influence in your life. Absolutely the most powerful influence in your life. It's not your mom and dad. It's not your pastor where you grew up. It's not the pastor here. It's not your teachers. The most powerful influence in your life. Eventually, I'll tell you what it is. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, and notice, if you will, the first three words, be not deceived. Say that with me. Be not deceived. Say it again. Be not deceived. Say it again. Be not deceived. Say it again. Be not deceived. What does that mean? You say, oh, I know what it means. It means be not deceived. Yeah. It means be not tricked. Don't be fooled. Yeah. Means all of that. But do you want to know what it really means? When the Bible says, be not deceived, you want to know what it really means? It means you can be. I'm serious. When the Bible says, be not deceived, it's giving the warning because you can be deceived. You can be led astray. You can be tricked. You can be fooled. Therefore, the warning is there. Not to let this happen to you. Read on. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Say it with me. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Say it again. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Notice the order. Evil communications corrupt good manners. It does not say that it's the good that changes the evil. Here's the way some people think. You know, somebody that I might be hanging around a lot, they live an ungodly life. I believe that if I spend a lot of time with them, I will be able to change them. Be careful. Because the Bible says, don't be tricked, don't be fooled, don't be led astray, be not deceived. It's the evil communication that changes good manners. I also note that it's a blanket statement. It does not say evil communications sometimes corrupts good manners. Evil communications under certain circumstances has the possibility of corrupting good manners. No, it's a blanket statement. Be not deceived. Evil communications, bang, corrupt good manners. It just, bang, happens. I know the truth of this. I remember when I was in high school, we'd get with our friends. Wouldn't have any plans for an evening. Somebody would say, hey, anybody know what we can do tonight? Yeah, let's do this. Yeah, 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 yeah. So what would happen? Someone would suggest an idea, and then there would be a camaraderie to do that thing. I'll never forget when somebody had the bright idea of blowing up mailboxes. So, hey, anybody know what we can do tonight? Yeah, let's blow up mailboxes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, you might think that this is a bad idea. But because everybody else is saying, yeah, you say, yeah. And all of a sudden, you're drawn into the activity. Be not deceived. Say it with me. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You can be talked into doing things you do not want to do. Oh, I'll never forget that night. We rode down the road outside in Meridian, Mississippi. We stopped at the first unsuspecting mailbox. Rolled the window down, lit the cherry bomb, threw it in the mailbox, closed the door, drove off, and boom, blew it to smithereens and sat in the car. Oh, it was so much fun doing that wrong thing together. By the way, blowing up mailboxes is a federal offense. I have a weird cousin. No, most of all my family's weird. His name is Petey. Petey always had the weirdest ideas. Anybody know what we can do tonight? Yeah, no. What, Petey? Let's steal the alligator from the zoo. Do what? There's enough of us. We jump the fence. He's small. We can put him in the trunk of our car. Yeah, 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 yeah. Now, you might be sitting there, this is the dumbest of all the ideas. But because everybody else is saying, yeah, you say, yeah. And all of a sudden, you're talked into doing what they want to do. Say it with me. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. In Meridian, Mississippi, there's a very small zoo. Had a small alligator. Six of us jumped the fence. We corralled him, tied him up, and put him in the trunk of our car. Rode up and down 8th Avenue. Hey, man, we got something in our car you don't have. What you got? We got the alligator from the zoo. Petey took the alligator on rides repeatedly. When I was in college, Bible college, we used to have some of the most unbelievable water balloon fights in the dormitories. After lights went out. Staff is looking at me right now. Oh, you never lived till you'd had an indoor water balloon fight. Hey, let's have a water balloon fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You might not want to be involved. So yours was the first door we knocked at 11 o'clock. Unsuspectingly, you would come to the door, 20 of us would be waiting outside. And as soon as you opened your door, pow! You and everything in your room was soaking wet, and you were now involved, running up and down the hallway, getting people back for what they'd done to your room. When we ran out of balloons, we got our garbage buckets. Went down to the bathroom, filled them up 5 gallons at a time, running, letting people have it. It would take us forever to clean up. The next morning, went downstairs where the cafeteria was, and there was puddles of water. administration was so concerned. Where is this water coming from? I don't know. Must have a busted pipe or something. But perhaps the best illustration thereof, an evangelist friend of mine by the name of Ron Riley, when he was 16 years old, went to a theme park, and he went with his friends. He said to his friends, "There are certain rides I'll not be riding." "Oh? Yeah, I can't take the rides that go in tight circles. They make me sick." "Oh?" Let me ask you something. If you go to a theme park like a Magic Mountain, like a Six Flags, like a Paramount, how many of you in this room are the very people, if there's somebody in your group that doesn't want to ride a certain ride, how many of you in this room will do your dead level best to get that person on the ride they do not want to ride? Would you hold your hand in the air right now? These are the people you need to watch out for. They are evil communicators, talking you into doing the things you do not want to do. When they went to the park, they came to the ride, I'll call it the barrel. The barrel is the cylinder that you walk into and you stand against the wall. And as you're standing there, it begins to go around and around and around and around faster and faster. And the centrifugal force plasters your body to the wall. How many have ever ridden that ride before? "Hey, Riley, let's ride this ride." "No, I don't ride that ride." "Oh, come on, Riley. We're doing everything together." "No, we're not. I'm not riding the ride." "Oh, come on, it only lasts 2 minutes." "I don't care if it's 2 seconds. I'm not riding the ride." "You chicken. Why'd you come, you chicken?" "Nobody calls me chicken." "All right, I'll ride your stupid ride." What? And as soon as he agreed to it, he thought, "Why did I say that?" How many of you have ever been talked into doing something you did not want to do? Would you hold your hand in there? Ever happened to you? Yeah. How many of you remember while you're doing it thinking, "I don't want to do this"? How many of you had that thought? He had all those thoughts. As he got on, he stood against the wall thinking, "Why am I here?" The ride started. It was going faster and faster and faster and faster. He said, "Any minute, I knew I was going to spray everybody on the other side of the wall." That would not have happened. Remember centrifugal force. If it comes out, it's coming back. Finally, the ride stopped. Riley wobbles off the ride, sits down, and his friends. "Wasn't that great?" "Oh, yeah. That was great, all right. Well, come on, Riley, let's go down to the next ride." And they walked down, and there it was, the carousel, with the individual barrels sitting on the carousel. You could get in one of those barrels, grab the things in the middle, and you could spin that barrel as fast as you wanted to spin it, even before they started the ride. How many have ever ridden that ride before? "Hey, Riley, let's ride this ride." "You don't get it, do you? I don't feel good." "Well, hey, we don't feel so hot either, but we're doing everything together." "No, we're not. Not riding the ride." "Why'd you even come, you chicken?" "Nobody calls me chicken." "All right, I'll ride your stupid ride." Thinking all the while, "Why am I agreeing to this?" But he had a plan. When he sat down, he grabbed the thing in the middle and he says, "They're not going to spin this barrel." But 3-1 was not fair. And those three guys had him spinning so fast. He said, "Any minute, I knew I was going to unload my cookies right there in the barrel. I knew I was in trouble." Finally, the ride stopped. He crawls off the ride. He lays on the bench. And his friends, "Wasn't that great? I can't move." "Well, come on, Riley. Let's go down to the haunted house." "I can't move." No, Riley, it's not a ride. You just walk through the haunted house. Walking will do you good. I can't move. You're scared of the haunted house, aren't you? Chicken! Nobody calls me chicken. Half carrying him, half walking, they go down to the haunted house. He said, I'm walking through the haunted house. It's dark. He says, it's not enjoyable. About halfway through, a light flashes. Guy jumps in front of him. Blah! I let him have it. Blah! I just unloaded my cookies twice. I went on a little bit further and lost my cookies again. But I started feeling a lot better. Get all that stuff out of you, you feel better. He said, but what really made me feel good was all the screams behind me. They had things that night they had never had in the haunted house before. It was a slippery floor, just slide right through the haunted house. A new feature. But before you leave the haunted house, there it is, a barrel. And you walk through the barrel to get out. Said, I had trouble with barrels all night. That barrel was no different. I stepped in that barrel like I was on the ocean, seasickness hit. I lost my cookies all over that barrel. If you've ever heard Ryan Riley tell that story, you will understand I was very kind in telling that story. But wait a minute. Did you notice something? Three times in one evening, he was talked into doing something he did not want to do. And it can absolutely happen to any of us. I understand this verse of scripture. I understand it because of my own personal experiences. I understand it because of your experiences. I said, what do you mean? Well, a moment ago, we raised our hand. Yeah, I've been talked into doing something I didn't want to do along the way. But I do not need my experiences, nor do I need your experiences. All I need is the truth of God's word. Understanding this truth, I want you to see something that will serve you for a lifetime. She was 16 years old when I met her. The man who took me there was at Whitten Village, which was the largest mental institution in the state of South Carolina. I went to visit. I was not a resident. But I'll never forget when I met the girl. I met her mom and dad. I met her pastor. And along the way, I met a couple of her friends. This was a young lady who had never done drugs in her life until one night at a church youth activity at a putt-putt facility in Clinton, South Carolina. Someone brought drugs. I can imagine exactly how a night like that would have happened. Hey, Mary, you want to take these? Oh, no, I don't do that. Oh, come on, Mary, come on. I'm going to do it. Bill's going to do it. John, come on. No, I don't. Oh, come on. I can imagine she was talked into doing something she did not want to do. But beyond that, I imagine she was talked into doing something she would have never done alone. Ha. There's two angles to this verse. Notice the power of the verse. Number one, I can be talked into doing things I don't want to do. But number two, notice evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you realize most people never get in trouble by themselves? It comes as a communication coming from someone else. Imagine all of these stories that I have just told. Imagine them alone. I know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to go blow up mailboxes by myself. You stop at the first mailbox, open it up, light the cherry bomb, throw it in, close the door, boom, drive off. No fun by yourself. Or imagine Petey saying, I know what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to go steal the alligator by myself. That's not smart. And he never did it by himself. Or imagine, I am going to have a water balloon fight with myself. Let the war begin. Pow! Woo! I missed me. Or imagine Riley saying, I'm going to Six Flags, going to ride everything that makes me sick, and I'm just going to lose my cookies everywhere. I submit to you, by himself, he would have never gotten on any of the rides. The most powerful influence in our life is our friends. Three things. Number one, choose your friends very carefully. Say it with me. Choose your friends very carefully. Say it again. Choose your friends very carefully. Most powerful influence in your life are the people you are around every single day. A number of years ago, I heard B.R. Lakin make a statement. I was a young man when he made it, and I thought when he made it, it was an odd statement. But more and more and more, I understand the statement. He said, if you go through life and have five close friends, you've done well. I thought to myself, five? I got more than five now. Maybe not if you understand what a real friend is. A real friend is not anyone who's going to ever talk you into doing something ungodly. A real friend is not someone who's going to take you to the edge where there's danger. A real friend is not someone who's going to get you in any type of trouble at all, but will do everything they can to keep you away from it. The strongest influence of our life are our friends. I have three boys. For a number of years, we were in San Francisco. They were in Christian school in San Francisco. I made a move from San Francisco, where I was basing, to Washington, D.C., where I live now, Fairfax, Virginia. They were in another Christian school. But the two schools were vastly different. In San Francisco, when we left, they were in the 10th grade. That is a hard move to leave friends in the 10th grade to go somewhere else. How many of you had such a move like that where you were taken away from friends anytime along the way when you were young? Anybody have a situation? You had a situation. It's hard to leave your friends behind and go somewhere else. It was a hard move for them. But they will tell you today it was the best move they ever made. In San Francisco, the class that they were in, many of the kids are just absolutely shipwrecked. Some have been in jail, one's in prison, others are divorced, but there's not one single person in their class living for the Lord. I have often thought, had we stayed there, because I understand the power outside of mom and dad. I understand the power outside of authority. I understand the power of relationships. I understand the power of friends. When we moved to a Christian school where there were young people on fire for God. There was a whole group of young people in that school that really wanted to do something for the Lord. Dave and Daniel, my two sons, twins. Kenny Baldwin, some of you may have heard along the way. Kenny was in their class as well. There are four or five others in their class who've all started churches. Dave and Daniel are both in the ministry today. And I am thoroughly convinced it wasn't because of a dad who's in evangelism. I'm thoroughly convinced it wasn't because of the pastors they had. But I'm thoroughly convinced it was because of the boys they were hanging around every day who were on fire, who wanted to do something for God. There is a camaraderie that is unreal. So they became friends with those who wanted to live for the Lord. Choose friends very carefully. But let me move to number two because it connects. Choose your friends from among those who really want to be godly. Now, I may shock you. I speak at a number of Christian schools, colleges, Bible colleges, and not everybody is on the same page all the time every year. There are certain things that can come into our life when we go home during the summertime that can change our lives. But if we hang around people who want to be godly, there's a reason for doing so. You say, why? Do I have to hang around perfect people all the time? No, there are no perfect people. But there are people who have a heart for God, a burning heart for God. Well, what's the benefit? Here's the benefit. Hey, let's count for God. Let's do something for God. Yeah. You might not be the strongest person of the group. But because everybody else is saying, yeah, you say, yeah. And all of a sudden, you're drawn into good companionship. There is a difference in being a companion with those that are godly. Here's an interesting verse. I like the concept. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9. It says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will pick up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. How can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Here's what I get from that verse. Two's better than one. You know, sometimes standing for the Lord all by yourself, it's hard. But with someone else along with you, it's much easier. And three's better than two. And four is better than three. Five is better than four. Six is better than five. You didn't see that written there, but it is. And what a camaraderie when there's a whole school that says, hey, let's turn our world upside down for Jesus Christ. A camaraderie. It happened, I won't go into the story and the details of the story, but you can read it in Awana God's Miracle. I've sat with Art Rohrheim and I've talked about the lives that came through the tabernacle that was here in Chicago. And the seven worldwide ministries that came from Paul Rader's ministry. Seven young people in the same youth group who said, hey, let's do something for God. Trans World Radio, Awana Clubs International, Scripture Press. My mind's going to be blank right now. We mentioned them the other day. Help me. New Tribes Missions, HJCB Radio, Quito, Ecuador. But wait a minute. Slavic Gospel. And most all of them exist today, though not as they started. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if there were seven young men, seven young ladies who started worldwide ministries that existed for 50, 60, 70 years? The camaraderie of doing something for God. But wait a minute, it can be derailed. Dave and Daniel, Fairfax Baptist Temple, good Christian school, around good kids. But they were going off to college. Wonderful. You don't understand what I understand. I knew that boys going off to college would have brand new relationships, brand new friends. I have seen many people go off to Bible college and come home one semester and seemingly care nothing about God. I have seen young people go off to Bible college. They spend a year at Bible college. They come home and have no desire to return to Bible college because the people they got around at Bible college didn't have the same heart, stole their heart. The communication that they had led them astray, stole them from the path they were on. And to me, it's amazing, bang, how fast it can change. So when David and Daniel went to Pensacola, my concern, who would be their roommates? Who would be the camaraderie? Who would be feeding them the information? I wasn't worried about the faculty. I wasn't worried about the adults. I was worried about all friends. At that time, they wouldn't allow siblings to be roommates together. But we had called, and I'd asked, and I pushed, and their basketball coach, who had been in San Francisco, was now the basketball coach down there. And I asked Brother Getch, I said, there's any way that we can maybe get them together? And they allowed it. David and Daniel became each other's roommate, and they were roommates for 6 years while they were there. I believe it was nothing but a help for both of them to be accountable to each other. You want to find somebody who is your close friend and say, hey, I want us to have an accountability. And if you see me at any time getting off track, nail my hide to the wall and do it quickly. Because that camaraderie is what will keep us on the same path going in a godly direction. Evil communications. Bang! It can happen rapidly. Don't let me shock you or surprise you. It has nothing to do with peer pressure. I don't even like the term. I call it people pressure. Because I can tell you pastors who fell under the wrong communication and are no longer in the ministry today. I had a young lady come to me, and if I were to mention the name of who this young lady is, most everybody in this room would know who her parents are. She came to me because her husband was leaving her and leaving the children. Pastor of a church whom I had had meetings with both in Michigan and in South Carolina when he pastored a church in Michigan, when he pastored a church in South Carolina. We had been friends for years. She came to me and she said, can you talk to my husband? I said, I'll try. I called. He would not even carry on a conversation with me. Would not even give me the time of day. And I thought, wow, how fast someone can change. I called her back and I said, I didn't get anywhere. About 3 weeks later, she called again. Will you try again? Okay. I called again. And this time he was more amiable. We had a conversation along the way and I said, look, can I ask you a question? Where did this all start? That you come to the place where you're going to leave your wife, leave your kids, leave the ministry. Where all this start? It's a story I've heard over and over again. It's different today than it was in that day. He said, I have to say it was from chat lines. I started having communication with people that I didn't even know. The communication turned to ungodliness until the ungodliness caused there to be thoughts, desires, then actions. He left his wife, left his children, left the ministry, not for another woman, for another man. Moved to Key West, Florida, and lived there for a number of years in Key West, Florida. Bang! Evil communications. My best friend called me. Got a problem. What's the problem? My daughter has left her husband and has flown to London. London? Yep. She and her husband were in Bible college, preparing for the ministry. Where did it start? Same thing. In that day, late 80s, early 90s, chat lines on the internet. She started talking with a bunch of guys she did not even know, did not even know what they looked like, until eventually the thoughts led to desires. The desires led to taking money out of the bank right here in Chicago, getting on a plane and flying to London. And she lived with a group of guys for 6 months, came to her senses, came home, and it was years before that family was a unit again. Bang! Evil communications. The communications we have every day with each other will keep us on a godly track or take us off of it. The communications that we have with these devices will keep us on track or take us off track. This device can be a wonderful help, or it can destroy your life. Because on this device, you have access to absolutely everything that is ungodly in the world. Communications can steal your heart just like that. And that's the reason I say for all of us, if someone says, I have no desire doing anything for God, well, you don't have to worry about it. But here's my point. If you have a heart for God and want to do something for God, you need to protect yourself. You need to protect yourself with the friends you're around, and you need to protect yourself with accountabilities to stay on the path so you can live a godly life. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Doesn't say it might happen. It happens. Number one, choose your friends very carefully. Number two, choose your friends from among those who want to be godly, who want to do something for God. And number three, this is the one I like. Purpose that you will be that friend. Sometimes it takes courage. It takes courage for somebody to say, hey, Bob, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. We don't cop that attitude. We don't say those things. We don't do that. Sometimes it takes courage. Especially the closer you are in a situation like this where everybody knows everybody. It takes courage for somebody to say, hey, let's don't do that. But purpose that you will be that godly friend who says, hey, I want to live for Christ. Follow me as I follow him. I believe that ought to be the goal of every young man and every young lady. Because the world is crying for leadership. Spiritual leaders are needed badly. The thing I notice about those who lead is that when someone decides they will lead, others will follow. And it's a wonderful thing when two become four. And four become eight. I've often said, one person can change the whole direction of a school. One person can change a whole direction of a church. Somebody on fire for God can be like a magnet drawing other people to them. Someone who gets a hold of God and says, I really want to do something for God. It's like a magnet. People are drawn to them. I wonder if there's somebody who said, boy, I'd like to be that person in my school. I'd like to be the person in my church when I go home. I'd like to be the person in my community when I go home. I'd like to be the person who takes a leadership role spiritually and say, hey, let's do something for God. Because if we stand for God as a group, there is no telling what can be done. Yeah. 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 Maybe there's somebody that says, yeah. You'll find yourself in good company. Father, help us to realize that what I've talked about tonight will serve us for the rest of our life. It's not just having friends now. It's having friends for a lifetime. Just a few weeks ago, I was talking to a Spanish fella in his 50s who told me, my life was absolutely a wreck. And I knew I had to get away from the friends I was hanging around. I'm glad he came to the realization and his friends were pulling him further and further and further down, even at 50 years old. Lord, realizing this is such a powerful influence, may we make pacts among us within this school Young men joining themselves to other young men who say, hey, man, let's do something for God. Young ladies joining to other young ladies and say, hey, let's do something for God. Let's be accountable to each other. Let's hold each other's feet to the fire, that we stay on the path and do something for God, so that we do not do anything that will keep us from doing something great for God or for ruining our opportunity. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. May I ask a question? I wonder how many would say, you know, Brother Steve, God meant this message for me. Because I can see along the way, even before I came here, I've had friends that were not building me up, but rather pulling me away from God. And maybe I even have friends back at home that, as I think about the relationship I had, I probably would be better off without that relationship, without that friendship. I'm never suggesting that anybody says to anybody else, you can't be my friend. But I am saying that we ought to just kind of pull away from some people and join closer with others. I wonder how many would say, yeah, I've got some relationships like that in my life. Some that I just need to alter, some that I need to change. I can see it. Anybody like that? Brother Steve, here's my hand. I can see relationships like that. See your hand and yours. See your hands and yours and yours. See your hands across the room. It's a powerful influence that can either make you or destroy you. Father, for these young ladies and young men who slip their hands into the air, I pray on their behalf. I pray that you'll give them the courage just to kind of move away from that relationship they have. Never in an unkind way, but just develop a relationship with someone who will help them be closer and closer to you. I'm going to ask a second question as a follow-up. It's one thing to recognize it. It's altogether a different matter to do something about it. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to give up a relationship, especially if it's a boy-girl relationship. I wonder how many would say, Brother Steve, I raised my hand a while ago, and I want you to pray that God would give me the courage to do what I know He wants me to do. How many would say, Brother Steve, that's me? Would you slip your hand there and say, Brother Steve, pray for me that God would give me the courage to do what I know He wants me to do. See your hands. Are there others? Father, I pray for every young man, every young lady. On their behalf, I pray, because it is difficult, I pray that you would give them just the meaningful courage, Lord, I am going to do it. And I pray, Lord, that you will provide for them someone who takes their place with a godly spirit, a godly attitude, on fire for God, that helps grow each of them to be what you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, the greatest influence in your life. We just listened to another Teen Week Conference pulpit message tonight from Steve Piggott. The message titled, Friends. Did you know that Jesus is a friend of sinners and desires not only to be your friend, but most importantly, your Savior and Lord? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you saved? Are you a part of the family of God tonight? If you don't know, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, go to bbnchat.org for help from a biblical advisor and answers from God's Word. bbnchat.org.
That concludes this feature. We have many resources for you here at BBN. Click Resources at our website, bbnradio.org.